Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell. I will be joined shortly by Zach Zimmerman, and we are also hoping to hear from Will Pruitt, who is in San Jose for WrestleMania weekend, Santa Clara, somewhere in that area. We'll find out exactly, hopefully, if Will gets a chance to call in today. Right off the top, if you're on hold and you want to ask a question, I forgot to mention this yesterday, hit the one key. Sometimes Blog Talk will tell you, other times they do not. So that is the trick to getting on the air. It's as simple as hitting the one key. Also, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number. And I want to remind you guys about the WrestleMania Sunday special that we're going to be having, taking your phone calls at 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Note the earlier start time for WrestleMania Sunday. A lot going on that day, so I thought it made sense to have it a little bit earlier than we do these the Thursday and Friday show. If you missed yesterday's show, you can check it out on demand. It's you can find it in our podcast section at ProWrestling.net or go directly to blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDotNet. And also coming up Monday night, the grand finale, the season finale of Season 2 of ProWrestling.net Live, airing on shortly after Raw on Monday nights, as we do that during WrestleMania season, and we'll continue to do it during Mania season, and we'll be by with some live specials throughout the year, of course, as well. One other thing before we bring Zach on board, I want to tell you about the .NET membership sale. I made it nice and simple. It's very close to the top of the page at ProWrestling.net right now. $3 for 1 month of .NET membership. You can save $4.50. All you have to do is visit that page I'm referencing. You can't miss it. It's the one that says $3 sale. And you'll get a coupon code. And our normal price for 1 month of membership is $7.50. That coupon code is going to save you $4.50. It's sale to 1 month. Just go to the site. Easier that way to check it out. And then also, we have a six-month membership sale that will save you $12 off of our usual six-month rate. The price is $27. And then our annual membership, as cheap as it's ever been, $45. And it's a savings of $21 from our usual annual rate. And so, again, just visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. It's in the right there in the news feed section. It's hard to miss or must read as well. You can find all the information on our membership sale. And if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you're in luck, because if you have downloaded our free app, which you should, then you can also enjoy all the perks of membership right there once you've signed up, right there on your phone. Pretty cool deal. And if apps aren't your thing for whatever reason, we also have a mobile site available. I definitely recommend people check that out. All right, we have the plugs out of the way. And by the way, we also have a chat room open. There's one more plug I guess I need to work in. So if you're listening live and you want to correspond with some other folks that are also listening, visit the chat room right now. Let me see if I can find the one and only Zach Zimmerman. And there he is. Hey, Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason, am I coming through all right?
So far, so good. Well, I'll let you know if anything changes. But before we start taking calls, and I actually have to try to remind Will Pruitt. I told him I'd text him, and then I lost track of time. Go figure. Your thoughts on Hideo Itami winning the NXT tournament and earning a spot in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Absolutely shocked, to be honest. A four-person tournament, if I were going to seed it, he would have been my fourth seed. We know how talented the guy is, but it's taken him a long time to kind of acclimate down there in NXT. I don't think he's at the level that the hype, you know, that he came in with, like we perceived that he would be. But so I was completely shocked. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him. But that would have been my last choice had you told me to give like a power ranking style.
And Zach normally covers NXT for the site. He was off this week. He had some traveling to do. I filled in for him. But great analysis from Zach on NXT on a weekly basis. If you follow the NXT television show, you need to be seeing Zach Zimmerman's television review and also hearing his audio reviews of the show, available sometimes as All Access, but every week as a membership perk. So if you don't see him on All Access, know that the members are listening to him, except for this week. Things are a little crazy. We'll see what happens with that. Here's the thing that I learned from that. This is my guess, anyway. And watch him just completely prove me wrong on Sunday. I don't think they have any intention of doing anything with Hideo Itami. I mean, maybe he has a little moment in that match, but I think he's kind of a safe pick to have in there just because I wouldn't want to have Finn Balor or Adrian Neville, for that matter, debut in the Battle Royal without some plan. I'd want those guys to have a really hot intro to WWE. I'd want the audience to, and I know that I know Neville's actually appeared on Raw, but still, you know, I would want people to, if I'm going to bring them in for WrestleMania, they need to make a splash. And I just don't think that's what they have in mind this year. And so I think, Zach, that's why they went a Tommy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you mentioned Balor and Neville. Had they been in it, I mean, I wouldn't have put them in there unless I was going to have them win it, bring them out, you know, the next night and have them establish that they are, you know, one of the next big guys. I think both Balor and Neville are at that level. And it would have been a mistake to just bring them out there in a, you know, just a forgettable role in the Battle Royal. So had they gone on to the Battle Royal, I would have expected them to win it. Tyler Breeze kind of would have been actually my backup. Like you're talking about, is just kind of the guy who you don't expect that they'll do anything with. That was actually the role that I kind of in my mind had slotted for Tyler Breeze. He could have done, you know, the kind of the fun gimmick entrance with the iPhone, and it would have been on the big screen. That would have been kind of cool. And then had he gotten eliminated, I don't think it would have been that big of a deal. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was really, really surprised to read that Tommy won that one.
Yeah, you know, when it got to the finals, it was he and Balor. I'm like, oh, wow, they must be doing something big with Balor at WrestleMania. And then when Itami won, I'm like, okay, they must not be doing anything big at WrestleMania as far as NXT is concerned. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think they'll give him a moment. I don't think he'll just be another guy and doesn't get at least a second to shine in there. But let me ask you this. If you had to bet he's going to win it, or he's not going to have any moment, he's just going to be another guy in there, which would you pick?
Ah, man. I mean, the wrestling fan inside me wants to say that they would have him win it, but he's had some decent performances down there in NXT on the NXT, you know, television show, but he's just not ready. He hasn't, you know, Triple H mentioned it in the conference call that he did. He just hasn't really broken out of that shell yet. He hasn't broken out to that Kenta level of intensity or excitement that I think, you know, that he could. So, I mean, honestly, I have to say that maybe he's just another guy and he gets eliminated, but I don't know. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised and I'll do something with him. But again, he just hasn't shown anything, you know, with this the quote-unquote WWE style that makes me think that he's ready to win that Battle Royal and go on to anything meaningful.
You know what? I see him waiting in the queue. We're going to bring Will Pruitt into the fold, and I promise we're going to start taking phone calls. But it's always good to hear from someone who is at WrestleMania weekend, and it is our own .NET staffer, Will Pruitt, who is going to be either covering or passing along to me the results of tonight's NXT show. So we'll have live updates on that, assuming everything works out reception-wise. Will, you never know with that. But how are things in beautiful San Jose, Santa Clara, somewhere in California?
Things are beautiful. I don't know that we could have asked for better weather for WrestleMania weekend. It's in the mid-70s outside. Outdoor events are pretty out. I'm actually looking out the door of my in-laws' RV right now, and it is gorgeous out.
Your in-laws have an RV?
Yeah, that's where we stay when we go out to their house. It's
nice. Can you get like special RV parking? Can you get special RV parking at WrestleMania?
I don't think so. I'll bet we could, but I don't want to drive this beast.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Will is going to be sitting in the press box on Sunday and blogging, so you'll get my live coverage and commentary as usual, and then also an in-person perspective from Will. So we're going to have you covered from all angles, and then Will and I are going to get together after the show for a member-exclusive audio review. So, again, take advantage of that special. Jump on board. Become a .NET member. Hear all the audio we do, and believe me, it's a ton. Will, so today, let's see, I know you're going to NXT tonight, obviously.
Yeah.
Once you get into the WrestleMania madness, what are you looking forward to hitting today?
You know, the main thing I'm looking forward to is NXT today. It's kind of, I'm like counting down the hours. I'm bummed that the show's at 10 p.m. because that means I have to wait longer for it at the moment. But I also think the 10 p.m. start time is going to create a really cool atmosphere around the show. So I'm looking forward to just getting into San Jose and kind of, you know, getting things kicked off right with NXT. I think the show's going to be spectacular.
Are you wearing anything Packer-related? Like, I know you're not going to wear it on the outside, but are you going to, like, sneak in and wear, like, a Packers T-shirt just to know that you went to the Niners stadium wearing a Packers shirt?
I don't think so, but it's tempting.
I'm shocked.
I'm going to be back there when the Packers play there next year, and I'm going to, you know, of course, be wearing Packer-related clothing then. So I think I'll wait till then to break out the Aaron Rodgers belt motion T-shirt at a Levi's Stadium and then leave doing the Aaron Rodgers belt motion as the Packers wallop the 49ers.
Well, it makes, as a Viking fan, it makes me feel good to know that the first member of the .NET staff to sit in the press box at WrestleMania is not wearing anything Packer related. What else are you going to do today outside? I mean, are you just going to try to get into town for NXT, or are you going to try to get around town and see what's going on down there?
I'm going to explore downtown a little bit. I want to see what the buzz is in the local area for WrestleMania, for, you know, NXT, for all of that. So I'm going to explore downtown. I'm going to Access and the WWN stuff tomorrow, so I'm kind of putting that off till then. I may tomorrow morning also try and swing by WrestleCon to see, you know, kind of what that looks like in comparison to something like Access, and see, you know, just kind of take in the environment around town a little.
Well, it sounds like a hell of a trip, and people can look forward to not only are you're going to be doing some blogs on your WrestleMania festivities, but also doing a little bit of audio as well, in addition to the one we're going to do on Sunday night. And I guess, Will, I don't even know if I've asked you, what the hell do you expect to happen on Sunday night in that main event, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns?
I don't even know at this point. Obviously, Lesnar re-signing through, like, every possibility I had previously come up with out the window. And now I know you pitched yesterday on a .NET Weekly, you kind of pitched a Shield reunion in the main event, kind of, you know, helmed by Paul Heyman or the Authority somehow, something like that. I could honestly see that, even though I don't expect it. I could see just Roman Reigns wins with a little help from Heyman and is booed out of the building. I could see Lesnar retaining and going another year as WWE champion. The possibilities for that main event are wide open. And I mean, if I had to pick something I'm most looking forward to at WrestleMania, rightfully so, it's the main event of the show, and it's amazing that it only took a Sports Center segment to get me in that spot with the main event of WrestleMania. Obviously, Brock re-signing was the best promotion they could have hoped for.
It's so bizarre. It peaked at the right time, and it really had very little to do with their build to Mania. It's just everything is kind of coming together nicely for them right now. Well, I know you wanted to keep it short. Anything else you wanted to hit on before you get out of here?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to, you know, if people will probably be wearing plaid at almost everything. If you see someone that looks like me, tall, lanky, brown hair, plaid. Come on over and say hi. I'll be at the Harry Potter tattoo. That's a giveaway. I will be at NXT, at Access, at the WWN Live Super Show. Obviously, at WrestleMania, I plan on just kind of wandering the parking lot for a little bit tomorrow and seeing what the tailgating atmosphere is like before I go in. And then, of course, hopefully at Raw on Monday night as well. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to come. If anyone's in the area, please say hi. I would be happy to high-five you.
And people can find you on Twitter as well. It might be easier to connect that way if somebody's listening going, I don't feel like going up to every man in plaid and saying, hi, are you Will? So where can they find you on Twitter?
At It's Will Time, ITSWILLTIME is the Twitter address, and I'll be tweeting snarky things about WrestleMania weekend. And I might be the guy at other shows just furiously typing into an iPad trying to keep track of things. So, yeah, that's also a giveaway. Thanks for having me on today, guys.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure. And look at that. I'll never forget one time when Will just, like, hung up in the middle of audio on us. Just gone. I get to cut him off today, Zach. I know he was, like, signing off, but I still feel better knowing that he didn't just get to hang up this time.
Hi, Will. Bye, Will. I didn't even get to say anything to him, but that's okay.
That's okay. He said he had to keep it really brief, so I just figured I'd keep it on track. And you guys can, like, chat off air and share your love of the Packers behind my back and yuck.
I'm sure he'll have a great time. That was one of the best experiences I've ever had, was going to WrestleMania 29, just the whole WrestleCon atmosphere, just the environment around WrestleMania. I mean, for anybody ever thinking about it, it's such a great thing. Just you got to do it at least once.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get 33 up here in Minneapolis, which is certainly the buzz up here, is that, you know, they're going to make a strong bid for it. Only time will tell if it actually comes to fruition or not. But there's a chance. I'm really thinking about doing making the trip to Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium next year in Arlington/Dallas area. It's tough with what I do, but I may just have to say the hell with it and make it work. But, all right, we've made the callers wait long enough. If you want to get in line behind some of these folks, 773-897-6321. I'm Jason Powell. He is Zach Zimmerman. This is ProWrestling.net Live. And up first, hopefully it's a fellow Viking fan. He's 612. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Dave from the main streets of Woodbury for the
nice.
For the uninitiated, I'm the high spot of the program, for the .NET members, I should say. How are you guys doing today?
Doing wonderful, man. What's on your mind, Dave?
Hey, I had a couple of questions regarding the network and the pay-per-view. When they started the network, I think one of the unresolved issues was that the pay-per-view payoffs were not resolved, and WrestleMania is obviously the biggest one of the year. Has the WWE ever resolved that? I mean, usually the guys get in the best shape, they get tan, they get buff, they're at their peak for WrestleMania because that's the big payday. Has that ever been resolved?
No, and you need to listen to your .NET audio more religiously, or you'd already know the answer to this, Dave. Shame on you. Here's the thing: that if you are high enough on the food chain and you go in and address it one-on-one, it's been addressed. If you are someone who hasn't worked up the balls to go in there and say, hey, what's the deal with this, then it is what it is. You basically get what you're given. And it's, you know, I'm sure people listening are going, you know, Zach, people listening are like, well, why wouldn't you just go in and demand it? But such is life in WWE. It's like they don't. The talent, if you are low enough on the food chain, you really don't have a whole lot of clout. You don't really have a whole lot of stroke there.
Okay. So it's no longer the case that WrestleMania is really the big payday for the talent.
It can be for some guys, and I'm going to try to ask around this year to see where, you know, if it's a better payday. I would assume it's still a better payday than most of the other shows, but I don't think you're getting the big significant bonuses like you used to. Certainly, you know, that hasn't been the case for pay-per-views, and they're going to chalk it up to, well, the network this and the network that. I think they could afford to do it. But certainly, obviously, a guy like Brock Lesnar is being taken care of. He's worked out his deal. John Cena, I'm sure, is the same. But you start getting a little bit lower on the card, and it's just not the same way. But you had one more for us?
Yeah, just a good segue. Speaking of the network, My son and I like to watch the pay-per-views down in the man cave, and we get terrible performance down there. We get it freezes at least a half a dozen times. Sometimes I can get it right back up. Sometimes I have to reboot the thing. Zach and Jason, have you experienced the same? Is it any better?
Zach, how about you? What's going on with your network feed?
There are times where it's been completely flawless, and so I kind of tend to believe that it's probably just kind of up to, you know, however your internet connection is. Maybe, you know, it seems strong for surfing the internet, but for streaming, you know, video constantly like that, it might be, you know, might need a little bit more bandwidth or a little bit stronger connection. But like, I mean, there have been times where, you know, I've been out and just even watching it on my phone, and it's been virtually flawless. I mean, maybe once in a while it'll get fuzzy for a second or two, but then it usually picks right back up. But there have been times with my home internet connection, which is just kind of up and down as a trend. Some days it's good, some days it's a little bit slower. And then there have been times where on my PS3, it's like you're talking about, where it completely stops. So, I mean, just from my experience, I tend to believe it kind of is based on, you know, what kind of data you're getting. But I don't know, Jason, maybe okay. Your experience is same or different.
I've had some bad luck. Not necessarily, well, no major crashes. There was, like, when I first got the network, I'll never forget, it basically made me feel like I just set off a nuclear weapon. There was some warning that used this horrific language that, you know, basically like a tragedy has occurred. It was basically what it made it seem like. I'm like, good Lord, what have I done? And it's just the weird language they use. But mine will freeze a lot. Not so much during the pay-per-views. I'll have some hiccups there, and just about the time I start to curse, then all of a sudden, like, it'll just come right back. It's just kind of glitchy. But I also have a 7-year-old router, and I'm flirting with disaster. Fortunately, I'm getting a new router tomorrow, but fortunately I have Jake Barnett, who's a tech guy, who's going to come over here and help me install the thing. I don't trust myself to do it. Jake was nice enough to volunteer, and so I'm kind of worried about doing it right, you know, a couple hours before the Hall of Fame. So if there's no Hall of Fame coverage tomorrow, folks, you know why. But I'm hoping, Dave, that going forward I can go, hey, it was the router, it wasn't the network. But I'm kind of worried now that I hear you say that.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned myself. Well, I don't want to keep you guys from rabbit any longer, so thanks for hosting the show, and have a great WrestleMania season.
Hey, thanks, man. Always good to hear from you. There he goes, Dave, from the mean streets of Woodbury, Minnesota. And I know you guys don't live in Minnesota, and you're like, is it a mean street? Anything but. There's, like, athletes, professional athletes that live in Dave's town. Up next is 414. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. Hey, Tim. It's Blake from Milwaukee.
Hey, Blake, what's up?
How you doing?
Doing well, man.
I missed the very beginning of the show, and I actually wanted to get thoughts on a Tommy Wing, the NXT tournament over the weekend.
Yeah, you know what? Go back and listen, because we spent a good chunk of time on that. Long story short, I don't expect much from a Tommy in the Battle Royal. But you have something else for us?
Oh, yeah. Also, I was thinking about the I was actually on Q&A last week. I had asked you if you thought maybe the entrance into the Battle Royal would be actually shown. Not a Battle Royal than the free show. Is it going to just take that half hour and just, like, give everyone their time and their entrances and everything?
I mean, it was moved for timing issues, and I don't think it was Zach. I'm guessing it wasn't, I don't know how we're going to get all those entrances on. I think it was moved for timing issues for what they consider to be the main show and the bigger matches.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, you know, just the way they wanted to format the show when they laid it out loud on paper, that's just the way they thought that it would work best. If I can just say one thing on a Tommy that I actually haven't mentioned, that we were talking about maybe them giving him one big spot or something. I don't know, Jason, do you think there's any possibility that they just get him in there, let him hit the GTS, and watch the crowd go completely bonkers?
You know, mixed feelings on that. One of our correspondents mentioned that last night, and to me it's like, yes, the WrestleMania crowd's going to go gaga for it, the ones that are following NXT. I think I'd actually rather see him do that at the NXT level, where it's not, you know, on the big stage at WrestleMania, because so the viewing audience at home is going to go, oh, he hit CM Punk's move. I'd rather see the fans be kind of conditioned and introduced to him and reminded that this was his move, and so that even though the NXT crowd will get it first, by the time he gets to the main roster, then you kind of reset things, and it feels like a big deal to that audience too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I'm just thinking that maybe, you know, on the way to the ring, they can say, this is Hideo Itami. He's NXT, recently signed from Japan. He is the innovator of the go to sleep, and have them say that while he's making his entrance or while he's on a hot run of offense and he can hit it. I don't know one way or the other. What you said makes complete sense, and I agree. But it's something that I could see, you know, if Triple H somehow, you know, got his way on this one, and he's like, because Triple H kind of has a gauge of how the NXT fans are, and he knows that a lot of the WrestleMania crowd are NXT fans. Just because they're the diehards. So he knows the reaction that move is going to garner just based on, you know, the sample he's got in the Ohio shows and down in Florida. So I think there's a possibility that they could just make that one big moment and have him hit the move and everybody goes crazy. But I definitely, what you said makes a lot of sense too. So who knows? We'll see.
And I would not rule out, keep in mind that it was CM Punk's move, and if they could just stick it to CM Punk and tell people on the big stage, this was his move, and he stole it from Hideo Itami. I put nothing past him when it comes to CM Punk right now. But, Blake, did you have more for us?
One last quick thing. Do you happen that maybe the Divas match is going to maybe go longer now that they have the time?
Zach, I guess my concern there, I think they're going in with the intention of, you know, let's do right by the Divas, but I just have a bad feeling that if they're running long, that's the match they're going to target. Like, oh, we need to trim a couple minutes off that match.
Yeah, what was the question exactly? Are they going to give the Divas a good amount of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think so. And with this whole give Divas a chance thing and kind of seemingly a push, you know, from just, I guess, kind of inspired by the work and with the NXT ladies, that people want to see the ladies get a chance. I think it's possible that they'll give them a little while. But, yeah, like Jason said, if if anything's going wrong in the show, that's going to be the thing that they take away from, I believe, to kind of make up for it.
Well, Blake, thank you very much. Oh, I just cut you off, man. You said that was your last one, and we do have a lot of people to get to, but always good to hear from Blake from Milwaukee. Up now is 305. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ. What's up today?
I got two things. The first thing is, how come Stone Cold live in Los Angeles, but they didn't, you know, pay or say something for him to go? He says he's going to Texas, and he's going to watch WrestleMania there. I'm just surprised because he's normally in, you know, L.A. now, and I would think, you know, the WrestleMania is not as hype as it should be, and with him, maybe, you know, give a little more pop. I'm just very surprised.
Well, he has homes in both places, is my understanding. The Broken Skull Ranch is legitimately in Texas, and then he has a place in Los Angeles, and if he wasn't, if they didn't work out a deal to get him on the show, then, or, I mean, Zach, it could be him swerving people, but we saw him last year. I kind of hope that when it comes to Steve Austin and WrestleMania appearance and just WWE appearances in general, I don't want them to overdo it. I want that to be special when he shows up, and so I wouldn't want him just to be shoehorned onto the show.
Definitely not shoehorned, no. And I mean, an appearance would be okay, but like you said, I'd rather them keep it special. I mean, there's a little tiny thing inside me, and I would love for it to come true. If the story was there and the right person was there, that, you know, maybe he was trying to swerve people and he, you know, somehow set up a match a year down the road for, you know, a comeback retirement match in Texas for his last one. But I mean, he doesn't ever seem like he's really gung-ho about wanting to work another match. So, I don't know. I haven't given it much thought whether he's in Texas or LA. I mean, if he's in LA, just because you're in LA, I mean, it's California, but California is pretty big. That doesn't mean, like, LA is not necessarily driving distance, like quick driving distance from where WrestleMania is. So, you know, it's not like it's in his home market. It'd still be a while to get there, but I don't know. I haven't really given it much thought. I wouldn't mind seeing him make an appearance if it was kind of special, I guess.
DJ, you said you had one more.
Yeah, I got, hopefully, let me say something. Hopefully he will be in Texas next year. But the next thing is, Bo Dallas came back, and I noticed he lost twice. And one time to Zack Ryder. I mean, you know, I thought after his injury, they would at least bring him up just a little up the ladder. But, you know, him losing to Zack Ryder, I don't have a good feeling with him. And maybe
Are you talking house shows, DJ?
Well, I'm talking about in general. Because I haven't really, you know, they haven't really talked about him coming back or anything. Maybe he could
just
join Wyatt.
He hasn't been on TV. He hasn't been on TV. I, you know, hey, I'm not, I'm a huge Bo Lever. I get a big kick out of the gimmick and all that. I really do. And I don't know that they're going to bring him back with a big push. And I kind of worry that, like, the fact that he's just been kind of working these house shows and they're not doing with them anything with him. I'm hoping it's like one of those things where, all right, we got WrestleMania. He's not really a part of it. We'll wait until after Mania. But I'm not worried at all based on what happens on the house shows. If you look at the house shows, count the number of babyface wins. It's not a big deal for anyone to lose a match at a house show. The one guy, Zach, that I might say, I wouldn't have him lose clean on a house show right now is Rusev, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Bo Dallas is the guy who can come out and get some heat. The babyface beats him. And, you know, I think if we read those reports, didn't he lose like two matches? He lost them both like back-to-back right away. I mean, I think that's kind of just a fun gimmick thing. Bo's the guy who can come out and get some, you know, some fun heat. People like to see him get his butt kicked. So he gets his butt kicked a couple of times and, you know, send the crowd home happy. I don't really put much stock in what they do on the house shows, you know, compared to what they do on TV. That said, Jason, you made a valid point, but just the fact that he is only doing house shows, we haven't seen or heard from him on TV or seen any hype from him or anything like that. I don't know. I don't really have, I think Bo, I don't know if they believe in Bo. I haven't really seen anything that makes me believe they do.
No, I thought he would have been, when they gave Miz the IC title, I thought he would have been the right guy for that. DJ, thank you so much. If you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number. I am Jason Powell. He is Zach Zimmerman, and this is ProWrestling.net Live. And don't forget, on Sunday, we will return with a special 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern WrestleMania Sunday special. Looking forward to hearing from you guys during that show as well. One-hour show getting you all set for WrestleMania on WrestleMania Sunday itself. And just a reminder, if you tuned in late and you're like, hey, I'm sitting on hold, and I'm listening to the show, and I want to be able to talk, but Blog Talk's not giving me an option, all you have to do is hit 1 on your phone, and that will get you on the air with us. That'll line you up. I don't know why they changed that, probably just a glitch, and it'll be changed eventually, but that's all you have to do is hit 1. Up next is 631. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Kyle from Long Island, New York.
Kyle, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. It's WrestleMania week. Very busy, but fun busy.
I have one main question. Do you think because Brock Lesnar re-signed, we could see a run that would surpass CM Punk's run for kind of like a dig? Because I feel like that's going to happen if he wins on Sunday.
Give me that one again. Zach, did you catch what he said? I missed it.
Yeah, he's just wondering if he thinks that they'll let Brock Lesnar keep the title longer than Punk did, and if they would do that to be a dig at Punk.
Oh, you go ahead and take it.
I mean, I think we mentioned it earlier with the go-to-sleep thing. I wouldn't put anything past them, but I think that if they were going to do it, I mean, sure, maybe there would be a little bit of a you know, snicker, yeah, we're going to stick it to him, but I don't think they're going to do it just to stick it to him. I think they're going to do it because that's the story that they'd want to tell with Brock, and it would just work out pretty conveniently. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. If they do it, it's because they think it's the best thing to do for their business right now. And if conveniently they can note that he passed Punk, great. But let's keep in mind, Kyle, it's not the all-time record. You know, it's not like they're sitting there going, man, he's at the top of our record book that no one pays much attention to anyway unless they're obsessed with wrestling and we already have them. He's just a guy in the modern era that, you know, for the modern era, he had the longest title reign. And it was a very long one. I'm not trying to diminish it, but I just don't think they're going to be caught up in that. But, yeah, sure, whoever, if they're still mad at Punk by the time someone, if there ever is someone that tops it in this era, and they'll probably take a little, you know, dig here and there. I don't put anything past them when it comes to that. You said you had one more for us?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do you think is going to be the last match this Sunday? And I just want to say, it's awesome being a .NET member. I know I say it all the time, but you guys really give me great audio.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always great to hear that. What's the last match? For some reason, I'm just having a hard time hearing it, Kyle. What's the last match on Sunday?
Yeah, what you guys predict will be the last match? Because I think it might say something about the show.
Well, Zach, for me, I think it's the World Heavyweight Championship match. Lesnar, Reigns, Paul Heyman kind of said as much in the promo on Monday, but do you feel differently?
No, I don't. I think that has to be it, especially considering that all the talk that The Rock is somehow going to be involved and set something up for next year. I think if that happens, it's kind of just a no-brainer. That is the main event.
I'll give you this as I think it's a long shot, Kyle, but if there is another, if for whatever reason they put that match on elsewhere, the only other match I can see going on last would be Taker's, and some of it is due to the darkness factor because we're going to get so much daylight during the show. It's not going to be your typical Mania where it starts light and then by the halfway through the show it's complete darkness, and it's going to be odd if Taker makes his entrance during the daylight. Maybe they've got something that's going to blow us away and be like, wow, I'm so happy they did it in the daylight. But that part worries me a little bit. But was that it, Kyle? I think that was all you had today.
That was it. Thank you so much, guys. Keep up the great work.
Hey, thank you. Always good to hear from you. Let's see, 773-897-6321. Not a long wait today at all if you want to get in. And again, if you're listening live and can't get in, you're wondering how, press 1 on your phone, and that will put you in line to speak with us. And let's see, what else was I going to tell you guys? Oh, I know what it is. About an hour from now, if you're listening live. A little courtesy plug here to our friends over at the PW Torch Livecast. I'm on the show every Tuesday with Wade Keller at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. And they will be getting together again today. Pretty much, I think it's Tuesday through Friday, is they do the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. And then Monday is a special a little bit later show leading into Raw at 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern. So definitely once you're done listening to us today, go check out Wade and Company over at pwtorchlivecast.com. This one, I don't know. There's no area code here. It just says, let's see, what does it say? Live. Live, who is this and where are you calling from? Live, are you there?
Somebody speak. It might be you.
Hold on one second here. Let me try this again. Live, are you there? Yeah, switchboard's acting up. Are you there now, live? Probably a Skype call. If you called in from Skype, or go ahead and say something. Going once, going twice, gone. All right, he I don't know what was going on there. He's been waiting forever to get on, and we go to him, and he's not there. All right, open phone lines, which is cool, because actually there's a couple things I want to talk with Zach about and get his take since we have him here. But if you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number, and we are talking WrestleMania and anything else you want to talk about in the world of wrestling. Zach, I guess being that this is WrestleMania weekend, and knowing that coming up Monday kind of resets the year for WWE, it really is like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in their world. That usually means that it doesn't have to happen Monday, but it could be happening soon. Some call-ups from NXT, and so I'm curious to know right now, who are you expecting? Who are the realistic candidates to be called up at this point?
I mean, I think that based on tenure and just how he can't really improve anymore, I think Adrian Neville is at that level. I think Sami Zayn is at that level. I think that those two are you know, if anybody were going to be my locks, I think it's going to be those two. I think even though he hasn't been in NXT very long, I think that Finn Balor is somebody who he doesn't need to be there. It's so apparent when he's on that developmental show that just how far above he is from everybody else on that show, just about in almost every way. Just his presence and the way he carries himself is he's a superstar already. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get the call up soon. I say Kevin Owens, but he's got that NXT title, so I think as long as he's got that, they're going to keep him off of the main roster. And I think they could do the thing too, kind of like they did in NXT, where Sami Zayn gets to the main roster before Kevin Owens. Eventually Kevin Owens drops that belt, and then they can tell the story that, you know, Sami Zayn got to the main roster before I did. But that's only because I chased him out of NXT. There's a really good story to tell there. So, I think it's got to be Zayn, Neville, and Balor, though, as my definite top three right now. And then maybe on the Diva side, I think, or the ladies side, I think Sasha Banks is somebody who I think she's just about ready for prime time. And I think that... Bailey's there. She's ready too. It seems like they're about to do something with the character in NXT, so I don't know if I expect her. But maybe if I were going to give two ladies who might be likely to get called up, probably Sasha and Charlotte, I think, is probably a safe bet too. Anybody you think I missed?
No, those are the ones that jump out. I'm not sure on Sasha yet. I just don't know if with her, maybe so much of it is just she has the Divas Championship. I agree with Charlotte. Because I've said this before, if you kind of put this in the old territory days, she looks like she's being phased out of the territory and moving on to the next territory. You know, she's lost, she dropped the championship, she lost the rematch, she really doesn't have anything going right now, and it feels like it's time. And I'm with this, you know, Divas initiative that seems like they're somewhat serious about. I mean, because we haven't seen signs of it creatively necessarily, but the women are getting longer matches on Raw, and it's easy to perceive that as they're just, you know, they're throwing them out there to fail. They're just giving them this time. Believe me, I want to see longer matches, but I also want to see those storylines that support those matches. But again, it's been the build up to Mania. Maybe they're just starting to condition us to these matches. Maybe they're testing the waters, and I think the tests have gone well, if that's what it is, because the fans aren't coming unglued during these matches. But, Zach, I think the nice thing I've noticed the last couple of weeks on Raw when they've had these longer Divas matches, the fans aren't going crazy, but they're not getting up and going to the concessions, and when there's a high spot or something for them to react to, they're reacting to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are people willing to invest in that, and I think that, you know, the more consistent time these ladies get and the more quality performances they put on, I really think that without too much trouble, the fans can be conditioned to actually care about the Divas division.
I think the time is right, absolutely. Not just because of Ronda Rousey, but that certainly, you know, it should be proof positive for WWE that this can work. The reaction that the women get in their own, you know, minor league division, whatever they want to call it, NXT, is proof that this can work. And I think they open themselves up to a different audience as well. I mean, there's younger girls that are part of those families going to the house shows, and you can turn them into, you know, real hardcore fans. Now, you know, of course they can like the guys too, but I just think that they need some positive female role models in that company. Because
Jason, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, it just came back. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. They could use some. I was saying they could use some positive female role models, because even Paige is kind of portrayed as being crazy. AJ Lee is crazy, and of course, you know, the Bellas are just the Bellas, and we know their gimmick, the Mean Girl gimmick. Stephanie McMahon is just an emasculator. They really could use, whether it's Charlotte or someone else, just the right diva, I think, to kind of get launch things. And so I think there's money to be made there. Back on the guy side of things, I'm curious, Zach, looking at the tapings, now they usually stay pretty close to, you know, your guy in that sends the results, he labels the shows and we know the dates they're going to air, and this time things got a little screwy because of the footage from Ohio that they chose to air, but I know, you know, this one, the show that they just aired was from supposed to be something that aired sometime next month. They jumped way ahead, and I wonder if I want to get your thoughts on this. Any chance they aired that Finn Balor match with Kevin Steen as kind of a write-off for him, because they don't want him to debut on WWE television and still have like 5 weeks of television left to go in NXT.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely makes a lot of sense actually when you kind of lay it out like that. I think that's actually, there's a real fair chance at that. I think that, you know, I'm not super surprised that they kind of jumped around in the tapings. I know I should just take any blame off of Jacob, the guy who sends the results. I label the shows. He lets me know when they change the mat, which they do usually between tapings, or when they change announcers, and he makes a note of that.
Sure.
And then I just label looking at the calendar, but I think they usually do that around WrestleMania time. They get a couple extra in the can, and they pick and choose what they air. And because they're probably going to end up doing an episode that'll just be kind of a recap of the tournament and the live show that Will's going to be at tonight. I think they'll probably make a week or two's television out of that. And then they have another taping scheduled for a couple of weeks. So I'm not too surprised. I just think that, you know, they had to give those fans a full show. And that said, maybe they could have made it a little bit shorter, because it sounded like, especially by reading your reports, that the fans weren't were a little bit quiet for that Owens Balor show.
Yeah, well, it was just so late in the taping. You know, it was like the last thing. It's like going to one of the TNA marathons. But the nice thing, I mean, they were engaged. It's just they weren't. You know, usually when Finn Balor comes out and Kevin Owens comes out, the place goes unglued. And you could tell, like, this is a tired crowd. But then as the match went on, then they were into it. They definitely were. So just fatigue from sitting through a long taping.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like if they knew they were only going to use two shows out of it, maybe they could have, you know, cut that taping down a little bit. That way they would have had the fans still, you know, super hot for the beginning of it. That's all.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm not sure what the approach was there. That was definitely not the crowd environment I expected, but then it made sense. So once I'm like, oh, that's right, end of the taping. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have 646, if I can get the switchboard to function properly. All right, 646, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, gentlemen. This is Nelson from Bronx, New York.
I caught the Bronx part. I'm sorry, what was your name?
My name is Nelson from Bronx, New York.
Nelson from Bronx,
Nelson,
New York. What's up today, man?
Hi. This is my first time calling, and I just want to say I love your show, and I just want to give a big shout out to Rabbit. He's my favorite caller of all time. I was going to send you a question about a week ago with Wade Keller about what the question of why was he on second probation or something, and I love your answer. But anyway, I'm going to get to the point. About the Hall of Fame, I heard yesterday Eva Marie was announced as the host, and Jerry Lawler, I think, was interviewed today, and he said that the rumors about Eva Marie hosting is a bunch of bull. And
yeah.
I just wanted, Eva Marie as the host of all people, I understand maybe because with the E online and everything, but, if they're going to have a female hosting it, why don't it be Renee Young? I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like bogus rumor. I don't know where it started. It wasn't something we ran, but it can happen. Either, you know, maybe she'll play a bigger part in the show, but it doesn't sound like she's replacing Jerry Lawler as the host. But, you know, those things can happen, so I'm not trying to take a shot because I honestly don't know where the rumor started. That said, if they were going to, I think Renee Young is the safest choice. People love Jerry Lawler in that role. But, Zach, I think the crowd would have completely – even though it's a Hall of Fame crowd and there's a lot of people that get, hey, we're here to be respectful, I still think there would have been that moment when, if that had really happened, where the crowd would have turned on Eva Marie. I think there would have been some catcalls and everything else where Renee Young is well-liked, respected because she's good at her job, and I don't think she would have had to put up with that.
Respected because she's good at her job, and she comes across like she's invested. She comes across like she, at least whether she does or she doesn't, she comes across like she has a knowledge of wrestling history, or at least wrestling history relevant to the things she's talking about. So I think that fans would be far, far more accepting of Renee Young. I think, yeah, like you said, there would definitely be resentment towards Eva Marie, just because it seems really, really obvious that she's not somebody who's dedicated any time or, you know, she's probably not familiar, you know, before her time in WWE anyway. She probably wasn't familiar with anybody actually going into the Hall of Fame this year. So, you know, there's a real good chance that she might get some crap from that crowd.
I would pay money, though, just to hear her pronounce Zabisco. I just have a feeling that no matter how many times she rehearsed it, she'd go out there and butcher it. But, yeah, that was a strange one. I mean, you can't put anything past Kevin Dunn and company. They've done some strange things in my mind that actually paid off. Like, for instance, as good of a promo as he was, I didn't think, when I first heard Taz as the color commentator, I'm like, huh, really, Taz? And he turned out to be very good at it. Eva Marie as the host of the Hall of Fame would be in that, it would be in a different category. I can't imagine. You don't know until you see it, but I would be shocked. And so, strange rumor that fortunately sounds like that there's not much to it, and it's Jerry Lawler's gig still. Nelson, did you have more for us?
Well, I just want to say that I love ProWrestling.net. I've been a member since August of last year. I enjoy you guys, you and Zach, everybody's doing a great job. WrestleMania season, for me, and I think for everybody else, really began Tuesday after Brock Lesnar made his decision about staying with the WWE. Now, to me, it feels like WrestleMania season, and WrestleMania is going to be really spectacular. I can't wait to see who the winner is going to be. I predict Brock Lesnar is going to walk away with the title, and Monday night is going to be very exciting to see what's going to happen. So, but I love you guys, what you guys do, and go ProWrestling.net, and I just want to hear what you guys say about, what you think is going to happen at WrestleMania. Thank you, guys. Have a good evening. Enjoy the show on Sunday.
Hey, thank you. It's always nice to hear the .NET members being so kind. And again, I'll just keep it brief. Check the main page right now, and you may have to scroll down if you're listening to this on delay, but look for the $3 special sale. Great prices in there. If you want to go 6 months or a year, you can save yourself a lot of money. We don't do specials often. Look for the $3 sale right there in the main listing at ProWrestling.net. Zach, I don't even know if I asked you yet what the hell you think is going to happen in that main event.
Man, I was thinking I was going to dodge that one through this whole thing. I'm like, oh, don't ask, because it doesn't make for good audio, but I just don't know. You wrote a really good blog. Part one is up now on .NET that I was reading. And, I mean, I read through that, and I nod my head at each scenario you lay out. I think I think The Rock is going to play into it. And I tend to believe that the first scenario that you wrote about, it's going to be the one that they go with. I think that Brock Lesnar's, at least my prediction is that Brock is gonna beat up Reigns, you know, beat the hell out of him. Maybe Reigns has a decent showing, shows some heart, shows some spirit, but ultimately just kind of gets destroyed by Brock. And then, you know, they come out and they do the Rock confrontation, and they set that up going forward. And then maybe that also kind of leaves the option for, you know, Reigns can kind of resent Rock and maybe go heel on Rock, or Reigns could, you know, tell the story of, I thought I was ready. I've come in here and I've ran through everybody, but I've never run into anything like Brock Lesnar. Now I know I need to step up and maybe, you know, kind of maybe mimic reality, because I think a lot of the resentment towards Reigns is that he's not ready. So I think they could tell that story. It's like, no, he's not ready. He got the crap kicked out of him by Brock Lesnar. So now he's got to go. He's got to, you know, take his time and get a lot better. And maybe he'll get another opportunity down the road. I think that's the story to tell. But God, there are so many scenarios, and it's actually kind of exciting. I'm looking more forward to seeing the scenario than actually seeing the match, if that makes sense.
There are so many. I mean, I'm just throwing out two that I in this blog piece that I'm doing. One part is up today, as Zach said. I'm hoping to have the next part up tomorrow, just depending on the craziness of Mania, but obviously by Sunday at the very latest. But and I touched on the scenarios yesterday. They're kind of what I consider to be far-fetched fetched, not the one you referenced, but because that may happen, but just the idea of Rock turning heel, for instance, and getting the band back together with The Shield, it's mania. And something like that could happen. I would think you may see a hint at if Rock were going to turn heel, you may see a hint at WrestleMania. I don't know that you'd actually see the full angle. They may wait till the night after for something like that. When it comes to Mania, I usually say take, you know, guess on the straightforward approach. They're pretty, they have a pretty good history of doing that, and so it's fun to fantasy book and come up with all this stuff, but I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm guessing it's probably a lot more simplistic than a lot of us are guessing right now. But we'll find out on Sunday, and I'll keep a I don't have my official predictions piece out there yet. I'll have to come up with something by Sunday. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know, but at the same time, that's a lot of the fun. I like not knowing for a change. Even last year, it was like, Daniel Bryan's going to win, and people were convincing themselves, Hunter's going to screw him over. It's not going to be him. And it's like I still felt very confident all along. It's Daniel Bryan's day, which was cool. I really enjoyed it. But sometimes when you don't know going into the show, that was what sold me on this match even before Brock resigned, was just kind of the mystery of how all this is going to be. And the spectacle of it, if it was going to be Reigns going over as a babyface, just the spectacle of that at WrestleMania, and hell, that could still happen. I don't think it will now that Brock has resigned, but we'll see. Let's see here. 5-1. Oh, I'm sorry, Zach. Go ahead. Actually, 5-1-8, sit tight for a second. Zach, finish your thought.
I was just going to be real quick. It's just I think they realized exactly what you said, that you know, once they reach a certain point, the draw is no longer in Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. The draw is what's going to happen involving Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, if that makes sense. How is it going to play out with the finish? Is Brock going to leave with the title? Because that's the story that they've been telling now, you know, for the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 3 or 4 weeks maybe. It seems like that's they realize that that's where the interest is right now.
Yeah, and you know, and going back to what you said about scenario one, about Rock having to kind of either watch in person or from a distance his cousin, as he puts it, I think is how they label each other. They're not legitimately, but they consider themselves family. To watch him take that prison beating that Paul Heyman keeps talking about, that might be what they have in mind. I just wonder if they had a finish in mind, and then Brock re-signed, and it's like, well, we can go in another direction. It's a fun WrestleMania, even though the build has been so atrocious. But now it's your turn, 5-1-8. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Matt from Albany, New York.
Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Hey, good. How's it going, guys?
Doing great.
All right, so you guys kind of took my thunder. I was going to talk about the whole Roman Reigns and Brock thing.
Yeah.
Like you guys said, there are just so many possibilities that I can't remember a main event in recent history that has had so much unpredictability. And the fact that when Brock signed that contract on, Tuesday, he pretty much solidified himself as the top babyface in WWE, on top of totally changing not only the main event, but possible other matches down the card, like Cena, Rusev.
Yes.
And so, I mean, and Cena Rusev, that was kind of my second point. I'm blending my question here, but basically the whole Cena Rusev, everyone kind of figured that WrestleMania is the time for Cena to beat Rusev. But now that Brock has signed, is Brock maybe the one to beat Rusev at SummerSlam or maybe all the way till next year at WrestleMania? Because Cena doesn't really need to beat Rusev. It kind of is that back when Umaga was in the WWE, he was undefeated for a while. He kind of seems like that unstoppable character that Cena eventually beat. So would it be better for, you think, Lesnar down the line, who is going to be a babyface, no question about it, at WrestleMania? Do you think he should be the one if Rusev wins at WrestleMania, or another younger talent to build for the future?
Zach, what do you think?
You know, this is a little bit – I just to answer the question, I don't think Brock is that guy. Just because there's such a limited number of strong, credible heels in WWE anyway, that I fear – there's a lot of talk about Brock. You know, he's already kind of a babyface. But I have some concerns that if they do go full-fledged babyface with him, which, you know, they very well may, he's a monster. He's a killer. And part of being a babyface is, I think that – I guess even though they see John Cena as a babyface, that he has to be vulnerable. But if Brock is just a babyface and he goes through and he kills all the heels who have have, you know, any semblance of heat, what's really going to be left at the end of it all? I'm hesitant to say that I want to see Brock go full-fledged babyface like that, because I would fear that they would have him run through Rusev and take Rusev's steam away, have him run through, you know, Rollins, take Rollins' steam away, and whatever heels they get ready, I would just be concerned that, you know, Killer Brock would just kill him.
I like the idea of it being Lesnar more so than Cena, and I know Cena fans hear that and go, anti-Cena. Cena, he wins one for Old Glory, and it's a WrestleMania moment for him. But we also had a WrestleMania moment for John Cena last year that I felt was completely unproductive, because the guy that he beat really gained nothing from it. There was all the, he's going to get rubbed from working with John Cena. And I'm sure there was a little bit, but then when they don't capitalize on, when they don't follow up with anything, as they didn't with Bray Wyatt, then you're left with, he got beat by John Cena and he's just kind of hanging around. And he really did just kind of hang around. He had his weird feud with Ambrose, I think it was, and he just kind of hung around until they decided, Taker's coming back and we want to put him in the ring there, and they kind of gave him this warped push leading up to it. I don't want to see that happen with Rusev, and I don't think it will. I think they see bigger things for him, but I like the idea of Rusev and Brock Lesnar somewhere down the road. If Rusev has to lose eventually, everybody does, it's just the way it goes, even Taker at Mania, which I still hate, but so you don't have to do it at SummerSlam. You could look long term and say, we're going to keep this guy unbeaten until next year's Mania. If it's not, you know, if Rock's not coming in, there's a lot of ways you could go with that. I would like to see Rusev win on Sunday. I think it would really surprise people, but I don't think Rusev is going to win on Sunday. I just don't think they're going to deprive the John Cena fans of him winning one for Old Glory. But I think it would be a hell of a shock, Matt. I'd really like to see it. Anything else?
No, I would agree with you guys. And if their whole goal is to basically add more value to the United States Championship by Cena winning it and then holding it for a while, I mean, Rusev's kind of done that on his own. The United States title right now means more than the IC title. So really, if that's their goal, Rusev's doing it on his own. So having Cena win, who doesn't need a win at WrestleMania, just doesn't make sense. But the bottom line, though, it's interesting, and you mentioned this earlier in your live cast, that in a strange way, this Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match is peaking at a time where, even though the go-home Raw was pretty much unanimously awful in terms of people or them really doing a great hard sell, this match by Brock re-signing this contract has opened up so many different possibilities that it's now a must-see match. I mean, you think back to the Royal Rumble when everybody was down on Roman Reigns. This is going to be a bad match. Obviously, Brock is going to drop the title to Roman Reigns, to now this is can't miss, and there are limitless possibilities.
I am so with you on that, because, Matt, if there's somebody out there right now, I mean, it was the popular thing and an understandable thing to really rag on Roman Reigns, and I think he started being put under the microscope as soon as word got out that he was the chosen one. And I get that part of it, and I thought some of the early criticism was kind of like, you got to sit back and wait. You know, that's kind of what I was telling people early on when they just decided he's not as good as this guy, he's not as good as, I mean, they're just comparing him to their favorite. And it was like, you got to sit back and wait. Let's see what they do with him. Let's see where he is this many months from now, whatever. And we see. We see, you know, and it hasn't been pretty, unfortunately. They blew it. But I think if anyone out there is still clinging to this, it's Roman Reigns, I don't want to see it. Zach, I think they're lost. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to sell their main event for them, but I'm kind of in Paul Heyman mode. As he put it on Monday, and he wasn't meaning the same thing, but now it's just like, really, what else is there to say? If someone out there is like, I don't want to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I've got nothing for them, because there are so many intriguing scenarios. It may end up being simplistic. The match may end up bad, but it doesn't mean that going into WrestleMania, this doesn't feel like one of the more intriguing matchups we've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. And I just think it kind of struck me as funny, too, is how Vince, you know, his mentality is that, you know, all TV is competition, that they're not a competition with any sports or anything like that. And yet the thing that gets the biggest amount of buzz for their WrestleMania is the most legitimate and sports-like thing that they've had in years. I mean, the whole, you know, Brock Lesnar going on ESPN and the contract signing and all that, I mean, that's like the most legitimate WWE's felt in a long time. It's the most big league they've felt in a very long time. only time they've looked serious in the mainstream in a very long time. So I think, I don't know, I think they'd be wise to kind of learn from that and see if maybe they can, you know, people are interested in the legitimate side of things like that, the sports-like side of things like that. And so I really enjoyed just all the buzz that's followed. I really enjoyed Brock's appearance, and I've enjoyed all the buzz that's followed Brock's appearance on SportsCenter and his big announcement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brock adds legitimacy to the belt. He's the most believable character, if you even want to say the character. He's almost like he's being himself. So once you add believability to what you're watching and you suspend your disbelief, that's when people get emotionally invested. And that's what really, you know, creates cash for WWE. So to me, it's just fascinating from a just not only a storyline perspective, just kind of to see what direction Vince and WWE is going to go. So kind of just the inner workings of how this match is going to play out, more than just the match itself, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it any better. But I also, just one last little side note about the Jason's theory about the Shield possibly reuniting. I didn't even think about that. But to me, I mean, that's as much of a possibility, to be honest, as anything else. But Seth, to me right now, Seth Rollins on his own with J&J Security, they're money right now. And I don't know about you, but I am loving Jamie Noble and his promo when he said he's the secret weapon of the authority. I actually laughed out loud at that.
There is some good humor there, definitely. Matt, I appreciate the call. We're going to take one more call from somebody who's a .NET member, and he said he's been waiting in line for a little bit here. He wanted the express treatment. Wow, what an ego. 713, who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is RK Lyon. How are y'all doing today?
Hey, you egomaniac. How are you? No, you were next in line anyway. It worked out. So you were the last caller, and so here you are. Let's do it. What's up, Lyon? Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I'm going to apologize. I actually lied. I'm not a member as of now, but with this annual deal you're promoting. With this annual
deal. If I had someone else waiting, I would seriously like put you back on hold, but I don't, so you're safe. Always good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Your annual deal is something I can't refuse. I'm going to definitely sign up before Sunday.
But, yeah, somebody just told me that I had the wrong code in there for the one-month deal. That's my fault. I apologize. Try entering it now. It's apparently I had 21 instead of 31. So my fault. I go to the main page and look at that listing and get the right coupon code, and you can yell at me later if you've been trying to get in. But go ahead, Lyon. Sorry.
Two quick things. I was watching the WrestleMania Today show yesterday, and they had Michael Cole laying it all really thick, saying that I don't think Roman could beat Brock, and then that right there, light bulb. I'm like, all right, Roman's going to win. I mean, I can definitely see it by the numbers, four moves, five moves of doom at the end. Roman, you know, overcomes the odds, if you will. And I didn't think that's smart for their commentary to say, you know, he's not as strong as Brock. He won't beat him. So
Zach, hold on. Let me ask Zach this. Do you think Michael Cole knows the finish, Zach? Because I know Jim Ross wouldn't have, but Jim Ross may have been different than Cole in that Ross has said he never wanted to know the outcome. If he could avoid it, he wanted that natural reaction to it. And so I don't know if Cole is different in that regard, but either way, do you think Michael Cole right now knows the finish of that main event, Zach?
Wow. I mean, I think, put it this way, I think if it's something that's like a company-wide thing, that's like Brock resigned, Brock's retaining, or Reigns has been the guy all along and Reigns is still the guy, then sure, he knows. But if I don't think that Michael Cole's in the inner circle of you know, those creative meetings. I just don't get that sense. But, you know, I don't really know.
Keep in mind, Lyon, that the Taker finish was made, you know, the day of the show. That's when Taker found out. So I can't promise you that Michael Cole doesn't know the finish. I'm guessing it's probably one of those deals where in a production meeting they sat down and did the old, all right, you're going to take this side of the argument, he'll take this side, the other side of the argument. I wouldn't read too much into that.
I hope you're right. I mean, hopefully by Sunday it's, you know, not the what we expect, and I can go back and think about that and just, you know, shake my head thinking that they let the finish out that early, especially on their programming on the network. But my only question, and especially this goes to Zim, which NXT guy would you prefer to appear on Monday Night Raw, this ultimate Raw? Well, who's the best candidate for that show?
Just like, do you mean like making like a debut appearance, like new introduction, NXT call up, who's the one guy I would call?
Yeah, kind of like what Paige got last year.
Yeah. I mean, man, just to pick one, that's tough. I mean, I'm not sure if you were on the line earlier when I mentioned, you know, I think my top three are Balor, are Neville, Balor, and Zayn. If I were just going to pick one, and put Charlotte on that list too, but if I were just going to pick one, who gets the call-up? Man, it's tough because Zayn and Neville have been there for so long. I feel like there's nothing more they can do. They need to get called up, but I also feel like Balor's ready. I hate to, if it's my company, I'm going with Finn Balor, but I also don't like him cutting in line, so that's really hard for me to actually answer. But hopefully giving you three or four is okay too. I don't know.
I'm going Balor on that one. I think he is ready, and I mean you can't go wrong with the guys you mentioned, Zach, and I think Charlotte also is ready as well. I don't mind the cutting in line part because it's developmental. If you're ready, you're ready. And if they have a Triple H has used the baseball analogy before, does he? You know, it basically saying, do I need a left-handed pitcher or a left-handed batter, that kind of thing. And if they have a slot for a guy who's ready, but he hasn't been there as long as another guy. And that slot makes more sense for the newcomer, you go with the newcomer. And so I'm okay if Balor does cut in front. Keep in mind, you know, I mean, hey, I would feel bad for Neville and Zayn if it's not their time, but they are working house shows, and eventually NXT is going to be launching their own live events, you know, full-on tours. And so there's some money to be made. It's not like these guys are just starving down there, you know, now that they're working these live events too. So I'm okay with that. But Lion, was that it?
Yeah, I'll just wrap up on this. I say only one guy just because I can't imagine they debuting a number of NXT guys on one show because it may overshadow, you know, one or the other. So that's why I just say one. I personally would prefer Balor as well because I'd love to see that entrance at WrestleMania 32 in the stadium where you can cut off the lights and just let him do that elaborate entrance. So
I totally agree on the why you would only pick one. I just, yeah, bringing up more than one of those guys in one show, I think it would just water him down.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends how it's done. You know, that's – thank you very much, Lion. I appreciate it. It depends how it's done. I mean, I think there's room in a three-hour show for Charlotte to debut and Finn Balor to debut. I mean, you don't put them back-to-back. But I think there's a way you can do it where they can both shine. Maybe it's a little different because one's a diva, one's not, but I still think they can shine. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I wouldn't want to see, unless they're going to do the Nexus all over again, which I hope they don't do, even though I like the Nexus, they just ran it into the ground. I wouldn't want to see like the whole batch of them debut all at the same time. I'm with you on that one. That is it for the calls today. However, I do want to chat with Zach. It's something he and I have put off forever. We had a debate about Sting and WrestleMania. And so, you know, at one point, Zach was pretty, you were pretty down on the idea of Sting playing a big role at WrestleMania. And you made a really good point that people from your generation don't know the guy and they're just not going to be excited about it. And my thing was, it wasn't so much that I disagreed with that. It was just that it's Mania. There's different slots for you know, they're trying to reach out to the masses. And so even if he doesn't necessarily catch on with your generation, it doesn't mean there's not a generation out there that he means a lot to. Maybe even some lapsed fans said, hey, Sting's wrestling. I need to check this out. So I'm curious. I want to know where you stand today on Sting facing Triple H at Mania.
Well, it's not something, yes, in a sense that my generation doesn't know who he is. I think that, you know, my generation of fans, you know, with the internet and everything, I think they very much know who he is. The most impressive thing he's ever done the most successful thing he's ever done was stand in the Raptors for a year. And so to bring him in this era where, okay, you know, it's not a sport, but it's more athletic than it's ever been, I believe. I think that, you know, athletically, I think the guys who are in there now are able to do things that people have you know, not been able to do in the past I think the business is growing that way. And also in terms of production. So I was really worried that Sting just, that people would see Sting in the ring and be like, well, you know, that's it. He's just an old guy in a t-shirt in the kind of a silly singlet. And that's what we see. Where I thought that, you know, it could work and I wasn't completely down on it was the production side of things. I thought that they could, you know, do some really cool stuff with the lighting and the entrance and the whole, you know, being the Raptors gimmick. And that was kind of what my thought was coming into this. And it's actually kind of, you know, granted we haven't seen him do anything physical in the ring, not much anyway, but I've been kind of unimpressed with the production side of things. I think his music kind of sucks. I think the kind of, you know, weird gimmickry, you know, Sting appearing all over the different things appearing all over the place, I think that was actually kind of lame. And in fact, the best thing that they've done was this past Monday on Raw, where they just had Sting go out there and cut a really good promo and get over really quickly with a crowd that he's never spoken to before. I sent this to you in a DM. I thought that was awesome, and I tweeted it that it was my favorite thing on WWE main roster in the last 6 or 8 months was this Sting Stephanie Triple H segment that opened Raw this week. I really, really loved that. So I had it backwards, I think. With this, I still think that when they get in the ring on Sunday, I think that, you know, all the excitement that people have for this match, it's kind of, it might just deflate because I don't think that athletically they're going to be able to go out there and deliver anything impressive. But I'm not as down on it as I was coming into it. I think I was kind of overthinking the fact that, you know, the guy physically, he just can't really do much. And that was actually kind of reaffirmed when a couple of weeks ago Triple H was putting the boots to him and he took a phantom bump, but Triple H totally missed him. That was where I kind of felt a little bit vindicated. But I was especially pleasantly surprised this week, and I'm going into Sunday more optimistic about this match than I was when, you know, all the talk of it being a thing started.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's a chance the match isn't great. But I'm optimistic about quality just because of how good Sting looks physically. Somebody sent in some questions, and Dynamite member Mark asked, do we think he'll work in the T-shirt? It wouldn't surprise me. We haven't seen him come out of it yet. They've sold the pay-per-view now. If he does, he does. I mean, in a perfect world, would he be in great shape and not need to? Yeah. That's not even a big concern of mine at this point, because he looks the part now. He looks like he's in shape. Granted, a guy his age, 56 years old or whatever he is now. But it's been so backwards. I'm with you where I thought the entrance would be phenomenal, and it's not. They play his, you know, when they show like his graphic, you know, coming up later in the show, and they play that music, it sounds like they're pimping just a campy Halloween skit. It's really just listen next time you hear that, folks. It sounds silly. It's like the Munsters are coming on or something, to really date myself. But at the same time, it's working. And I don't know if the Mania entrance is going to be. I'm hoping it's something different than we've seen. And I don't know that it is or it isn't, but I'm hoping it's something special. The part where he wasn't speaking all that time, I was in favor of that. And then I'm with you, though. Some of the best, probably the best thing he's done so far was Monday when he actually did speak. It's because I'm a big fan of dark, mysterious Sting. That's when he's been money over the years. Going back to when he was standing in the rafters, when he wasn't talking, that was the best mic work he had done at that point. He wasn't on the mic. But he learned. So he improved so much in TNA, but I still like the idea of dark, mysterious Sting in WWE. I think that plays to people. I never would have guessed that he would have done as well as he did on Monday night. He really nailed it. He just looked relaxed. I'm used to seeing Sting kind of get nervous and unsure of himself in certain environments, and I thought for sure, first Raw promo, we were going to see that Sting, and we didn't. Very well done. But as far as the overall match, yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic that it's going to be good and it's going to be memorable and it's going to be a nice WrestleMania debut and maybe retirement for Sting. We'll see. But even if it's bad, I think it's one of the big – it feels like one of the big three matches. I don't know about you, Zach. I put this right there with Cena, Rusev, and above Taker and Bray Wyatt for big WrestleMania matches this year.
Yeah. I think that's definitely fair.
Go ahead.
Oh, shoot, now I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. I think they've done a good job with this. It's not Sting Taker where you're looking at it as a potential real main event, but this is a good semi-main event kind of match. I mean, I don't know what they have planned for the match order, but it feels like it belongs, you know, somewhere beneath the main event. But, you know, high on the card, it feels like a real attraction. And I think People are looking forward to it. Even, you know, from your generation, if they don't know Sting, like you say, they didn't follow his career closely, and maybe they were approaching this like, ah, this guy's a relic. I really don't want to see this. I think the build has been good enough, despite some bumps in the road along the way, that I think people are accepting this and are looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely so. And just to kind of reiterate, I just watched the segment. I was in New York all week, so I just kind of watched Raw before we came on the air here. And I had read positive reviews, but I just can't say enough. I was really floored. Sting handled that promo like a complete pro. Like I never would have imagined him handling it like that. I was so thoroughly impressed, and I think that just the segment from Raw, I think that actually might put a notch ahead of Cena Rusev. Granted, it's in that it's kind of a showcase match, so I'd actually put it ahead of Cena Rusev on my lineup. I think I'd put Triple H Sting at number two just based off of how I'm coming away from Monday's segment. I thought that highly of it.
Cool, man. Well, you know what? Zach, that's going to do it for today. I appreciate you joining me as always, and I'm sure we'll do .NET Weekly or something again real soon. Sound good?
Yeah, hopefully so.
All right, thanks, Zach. There he goes, and you can follow him on, I should have asked him before I forgot. Sometimes I forget the guy's, their address, but his is simple, @.NETZIM, @.NET, DOTNETZIM. You can follow him on Twitter, and definitely check out his coverage of NXT. And if I can continue to give him the nudge, his coverage of New Japan, he follows it as closely as anyone. Now we got to get him to cover it for the site. I think he's kind of in, I want to be a fan mode and just enjoy this product, but I keep nudging him. One of these times it might work, but Zach was actually in Japan for the Wrestle Kingdom show and like saw some ungodly number of shows in a series of days over there. It was crazy. So he's been to Japan and he covers it very closely. So even if he's not covering it for the site, you follow Japan, you want to know something about Japan, Zach's your guy, @.NETZIM, DOTNETZIM. You can also follow me on Twitter, @ProWrestlingNet. And you can take advantage of our special. Again, I screwed up somehow and had the wrong code in there for the one-month deal. I panicked and talked with my tech guy, and he said that, well, people were signing up for it. So I think most people figured out what I did. Should have been a 3 instead of a 2 listed, but it's been corrected now. So go to the main page of ProWrestling.net for all the details. Just look for ProWrestling.net membership sale, $3 for 1 month, save over $20. For an annual membership, that will be your headline, and that'll be right there along with all the news of the day. Don't forget, coming up later tonight, we're hoping we have somebody lined up. I don't have anything official yet that I know of. I may have forgotten. So many people are checking in saying they'll cover this event and help with that one. But hopefully, if you can help, if you're listening, we could use somebody for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Or actually, it's not a pay-per-view. That's kind of the problem. I'd be watching it. It's available on video on demand later, but it's Samoa Joe challenging Jay Briscoe for the ROH title. Pretty cool deal there, and this will probably be Samoa Joe's last match in Ring of Honor, unless there's a big swerve coming. I don't think there is, because rumor has it Joe is WWE bound. But we will definitely have updates on the NXT show. Hoping there will be live updates. I can't imagine they won't be, but just in case there's some sort of reception issue, I'll say hopefully. But I'm feeling pretty damn good about it, that because Will Pruitt will be attending that show in person, and we also have another .NET member who's been helping out, Julie N. I don't know if I can pronounce her last name. But Julie N. has been helping out with a lot of things, and I believe, she will also be going to that event. So, I think I've heard from others as well. So hopefully between all those people, unless the cell reception is just atrocious, and it's like right there in the heart of like Silicon Valley basically, isn't it? It shouldn't be. So hopefully we'll have live coverage of NXT the late night tonight. It's a late start, 10 p.m. their time. That's like midnight start, my time, 1 a.m. start, East Coast time. So if you just feel like, I'm not going to stay up that late, we'll have the results for you in the morning. It's all good. Don't forget to check out PW Torch Livecast. Our buddies over there coming up, if you're listening live, about 10 minutes from now at pwtorchlivecast.com. It's Interview Friday. I don't know who the hell Wade's interviewing, but I'm sure he's interviewing someone, because hence the name Interview Friday. One thing to close here, we've been talking about Sting. Here's a quote that just came my way. Dan Gelston of the Associated Press spoke with Sting. He's got a I'll have this on the main page momentarily. As soon as I wrap up here, I was going to try to sneak away and do it during the show, but no such luck. Sting says regarding whether this is going to be it for him at Mania, quote, "I'm feeling like this is probably going to be my last one. We'll see how everyone reacts. If I'm asked to do one more at Survivor Series or maybe even WrestleMania next year, at this point I would consider it. But realistically, this is going to be my last one," end quote. So there you have it, Sting making it seem like this could be it. I like that he's leaving the door open, and I think WWE must be fairly optimistic that he's willing to do more, simply because this is what hasn't been promoted as, like, you know, it's Sting's one and only WWE match. And that's the thing that's kind of made me think that he's coming back for more. But you can't rule out a Shawn Michaels-like situation where, you know, they wanted Shawn to do more, and he decided, nope, that's it. You know, I'm feeling good about this was the right way to go out, and he's stuck to that. And so if Sting goes out there Sunday and things go the way he wants, or it just, you know, he doesn't feel like he's up for the challenge, if things go the wrong way, he may say that's it. But otherwise, I think WWE is going to try, because I think there is still money left in Sting. I think there's more you can do with him. Doesn't have to be the Taker match. There's still more you can do with Sting. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he does more. But right now, I just think it's important to say that he's saying, "I'm feeling like this is probably going to be my last one." Hopefully you guys, the sound was okay. I don't know if you guys were catching this. This headset that I'm wearing is pretty good about not picking up every little thing. I'm happy I didn't have the USB headset on today. During the show, one of my neighbors, like, as the show was, like, pretty early on, I could tell they were getting their carpets cleaned. Then we had my dogs freaking out. Then we had one of my dogs snoring because she's tired of hearing me talk about WrestleMania already. And then we had the neighbor dog barking like a lunatic at my dogs, who were out on the patio at that point. And fortunately, my dogs didn't bark back. You would have heard that for sure. So if there was all sorts of noise in the background, I do apologize. It's live radio. What are you going to do? Speaking of which, we'll be right back here doing live radio on Sunday. Don't forget the earlier start time, 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern, the WrestleMania Sunday Spectacular. It'll be a one-hour show. If we go a little bit long, that's fine, but it's going to be a hectic day on my end. But I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys on WrestleMania Sunday, one last bit of WrestleMania discussion before the big show. And then, again, I'll be back Monday night after WWE Raw shortly, about 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. But worry about that one later. Don't forget, Sunday, 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern, the WrestleMania Spectacular. Your phone calls welcome. Tell friends, hey, we want this. We want as many listeners as we can get, and don't be afraid to tell some friends about the ProWrestling.net membership special. All right, that's it for the plugs. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll do this again Sunday. Until then, take care.